Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm Bruce McCurdy, flying solo tonight as my colleague David Staples was all raring to go after such a wonderful game, but he encountered technical difficulties with Google Chrome that cut him off at the knees before we could even start. So I am going to do a brief recap of a game that deserves a brief recap at best. The good, the bad, and the numbers. I'm supposed to somehow come up with two of each after a game that featured a whole lot of bad and not a whole lot of good. But let's start as we always do with the optimistic. Two good things about this game. And let's see now, what were they? One, it was a road game. So none of the long-suffering tier one paying fans had to spit the bit at yet another stinker on home ice. This was a stinker on road ice. So I guess that's a good thing. And to inject a personal note, it was a good thing for me that they played this game tonight and the not quite so terrible game in Vegas. In Vegas, when I was in Vegas on Sunday night, it would have been just brutal to have experienced this game as the sample road game for the season. But Sundays was bad, but this was definitively worse on every front. Oh, so yes, that does kind of segue nicely into the bad now, doesn't it? So the bad. I'm going to go with Oilers' entire team as the bad, because there's no way to single out anybody that would in any way let other people off the hook. Instead, I'm going to go with the whole 9 yards, the bad from the goalies who let in 4 goals on grade B or grade C scoring chances. Made some good saves, but let in way too many weak goals. The defense that were just getting schooled in their own end of the ice, badly outshot, giving up good chances, trouble covering, and very little success moving the puck again. And forwards that quite simply weren't getting it done from the top of the roster to the bottom. This was just a poor showing. The gentlemanly Reed Wilkins of 630 Ched had this to say about the game in a tweet. Blues completely dominated the Oilers, who lacked speed, skill, checking, goaltending, and discipline. So there you go. Discipline. Okay. My other bad thing. It was such a weird play. And I was a little rattled, frankly, at the time. And I remain rattled. And it wound up having a very bad outcome, I think. This was the play in the first period when Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was back-checking on a guy, had one hand on the stick. His stick blade did come up on a deflection off the a body part of some kind, tapped the guy in the visor, no harm, but definitely a foul. Ref's arm went out 2 minutes for high sticking. And then on the continuation, there was a clash at center ice between Milan Lucic and Oscar Sundqvist of St. Louis, where Sundqvist basically thrust his stick almost in a spearing motion right in Lucic's grill, got him in the visor, and basically sprang the helmet right off his head, luckily with the head not still in it, and landed about 15 feet away. Just a ridiculous high stick. And I don't know if there was some element of accidental in there. I would like to hope so. But that's neither here nor there to some extent when it comes to high sticking. I mean, it's as Nuge's was, kind of an accidental high stick. Well, you call it. And this, I mean, it just left me shaking my head in bewilderment And Lucic was, you should have, well, you probably did see him. If you're listening to me, you probably watched the game, or maybe you didn't. But anyway, he was just glaring at both Sundqvist and the referee as no call was made, and the Oilers went out on the penalty kill. Well, Lucic got his helmet repaired on the bench. And the upshot of this was much, much later in the game, and I don't think this was an accident, that the guy Lucic happened to hit was none other than Oscar Sundqvist, with about 5 minutes to go in the third period, and it was a vicious and dirty hit from behind, where Lucic sent the Blues player crashing into the end boards in a dangerous manner. Now, this one the refs did absolutely correctly call as a five-minute major for cross-checking and a game misconduct. Really, it was the only call to be made on that play. Even as if you asked Lucic, I bet you would say he would say that the two plays combined were not fairly called, and he would have a case. But he has no case for doing what he did, even as a retaliation maneuver. You know, you pick your spots, but you don't pick that spot. That was a dirty, bad play. So that's really my ultimate bad thing. Second bad thing is that hit by Lucic. And the unfortunate result of, well, we don't know what the full result is, but the guy went off looking pretty shaken up, and no wonder given the way he hurtled into the end board. So it just gave the Oilers a extra bad look of not looking all that classy in the defeat. And it was just an ugly showing all the way around. There's really no more to be said. Then it was a bad show. And we'll wind up this brief podcast with a couple of numbers. This is an ugly one for you. The Oilers have now lost 23 games this season. 23 games this season they've lost by 3 or more goals. And I'm sorry, a good or even mediocre team doesn't get clobbered that often. Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me for other teams, but I'd be surprised if 23 goal losses was either leading or very close to the worst in the NHL. Maybe one or two of the other bottom feeders would have something similar. Maybe it's something I'll check, but it's kind of glaring that they've been, you know, and a couple of them were, you know, two-goal games with empty net goals, but usually they've been full value for the three-goal defeat. And it just happens way too often. And in this case, it was the second straight game. This is going to be my other number. Second straight game where the Oilers couldn't muster as many as 20 shots on net in a 60-minute game. And that's just nowhere near good enough. 19 against Vegas to 34 against, and then tonight 17 against St. Louis to 44 against. And so outshot 78 to 36 in the last two games of this road trip, and outscored 13 to 5 in those two games. So just not a very pretty showing. It just really looks like the team has realized they're done. They made a decent run for a while, and whatever was in the energy bank, they've expended that budget and have overdrawn the account, judging by the play of a few of their key players that really haven't been on top of their games the last while. And really, that's most of the team. Like, there's no point in naming names. It's goalies on out, and coaches aren't off the hook. And you know what? The managers who put this team together and the managers who are making plans for how to fix this team, as far as I'm concerned at this moment, they're all on the docket for failing their fans, frankly. This is 12th time in 13 years that we've entered basically the last 10 games of the season already knowing the fate of the team is being out of it this season in garbage time, 3 weeks to go or longer. And it's just beyond frustrating at this point that You know, obviously they've got some good things going on here with a few core star players, but the full extent of the team is just spinning its wheels. And I'm sorry, but a lot of that is on the management and the coaching staffs and everybody that's in responsible for managing this organization. It's a discouraging state of affairs, Oilers fans. It's as simple as that. And with that discouraging, non-optimistic note, I'm going to take my leave of this podcast. And thank you for listening. No watching tonight. No YouTube tonight. But maybe that's just as well, given the quality of the game. And so, with that, I'll say goodnight. In the meantime and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.